helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart. I'm National Director of our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me is Dr. Omari Hodge. Omari, welcome.
Thanks, man. Always a pleasure to spend some time with you in this format or any other format. So I'm excited.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have fun. We're gonna talk about some of these hot button issues, some things that
we got to
get some conversation stirring, not just the things that we're going to discuss, but the students as they're going to be listening to these issues. I know that these are going to be issues that they're talking about on their campus, so we'll have a chance to dive in just a minute. But before we get started, I want to introduce our audience to you, Omari. Dr. Omari Hodge is board-certified family medicine physician. He serves in Wesley Chapel, Florida. You are the program director for a residency program there at part of Advent Health. Been in Georgia. You've had a career, well, started at Morehouse School of Medicine as a medical student, residency up in South Carolina, came back to Atlanta, and now you're serving in Florida. Married? Kira? Four kids?
Yes, I still keep her around.
Oh my gosh.
She's not.
We can't.
Can
we edit? No. All right, Kira.
Lovely. Four kids. Yeah. And they're doing great, man.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be fun. And also, just a couple of things in terms of your involvement with CMDA. You're a GHO team leader. You've served and done medical missions. I know we served together a couple of times. I know one in El Salvador. You also serve locally when you're in Atlanta. You were a big part of our Clarkston Refugee Clinic. Yeah. And that was, yeah, you're such an instrumental part of helping launch that. And that continues to serve the most diverse square mile in all of America, as Clarkston's apt to say. Yep. And you were also part of, which I want you to in a minute explain more about, is the Red Committee. That's been a part of your work with CMDA as well. And you are president-elect. And so we'll be assuming that role here sometime soon. So that is, so you got, needless to say, you're a busy guy. You got a lot of stuff going.
I am, and God keeps me going. There's a lot of things that I'm juggling, but they all have purpose, you know? And so just thankful that he's letting me get this far. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, let's dive in. Well, first of all, let's just, before we get jumping right into some of these topics, hot button issues, the Red Committee. Explain to, again, students who may not know, what is the Red Committee?
Yeah, so the Red Committee stands for Racism, Reconciliation, Equality, and Diversity. It started, I want to say, back in 2018. Mm-hmm. It came to fruition on the heels of a think tank that was developed based on a racism statement that CMDA put out, because CMDA wanted to acknowledge its position as far as it pertains to racism and how it does not endorse that in any form or fashion. And from that committee, from that task force, I should say, the idea of having a committee of the board that can deal with issues that relate to this from a biblical perspective that would help healthcare professionals navigate these paths, because they do touch our workplace. No one can be immune from these topics. It was recognized that this would be helpful so that we would have our own in-house counsel, if you will, some people who, I dare I say experts, but some people who have lived a life close to this topic and can offer some earnest thoughts on particular issues when the time is needed, both for members at large and for members of the board. And so since that time, we've been in existence. I'd say that was somewhere around the end of 2018, beginning 2019, and I've been a chair, and we've been able to do a lot of wonderful things through CMDA. Looking forward to the future.
Yeah, no, that's great. You all, I know, have created some resources, some webinars, have helped ministries within CMDA kind of negotiate some of the terrain on this issue. You've, I think, like you said, it's been a team of individuals who are thinking very specifically on this issue and can advise our leadership team well as these questions and issues come about. And in particular, this one that I'm about to raise, which is DEI. Now, we are broadcasting this right after the election, and suffice it to say, suffice it to say, the idea of DEI, we hear that three-letter word.
Yes.
What does it stand for? And what's going on with that?
You know, just saying those three letters, and some of our audience, they're going to have a visceral response to that, because it means many different things to many different people. And I think one of the biggest issues that we have, I don't even need to go as wide as nationwide. Let me just stay within the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. One of the problems that we have in the body of Christ that keeps the 11 o'clock hour the most diverse time, the most unfortunately segregated time on Sunday mornings, is we have a misunderstanding of language on certain topics. So whenever I talk about issues, one of the first things I try to navigate is a shared understanding of what words mean. Mm. Because otherwise you could spend countless minutes, sometimes even hours, and really you don't even realize it, but you're talking about semantics.
Right.
I've seen people who actually agreed on something continue to disagree because the way they call it, they chose to use different names about that very topic. But the points they both agreed on. So I think it's very important that we talk about it well. So, strictly put, DEI, you know, no matter who you ask, regardless, is going to stand for diversity. Sometimes it'll be equality. Sometimes it'll be equity, just depending on who you ask. And there is a difference between equality and equity. We can get into that later. And equity and inclusion. And so those three letters pretty much sum up DEI. But the connotation or the thought processes behind that can be very different. Sometimes people hear that and it's synonymous with social justice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people hear that and you'll hear the term reverse racism. Sometimes people hear that and you hear that means that LGBTQ agendas are to be adhered to within that organization or whatever, what have you. But that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes it is the case. And I think asking people what they mean when they see DEI is very important, because you can't. I think the only wrong position is to say that DEI means one thing and everybody assumes universally that's what it means. I think that's a dangerous position, because that's not the case.
Certainly the way it's been institutionalized carries with it a certain narrative, but the elements that are part of it all, I mean, explained, you know, you said diversity, and then you said it differentiates either between equality or equity and then inclusion. First of all, explain the differences of the two E's. What would be the difference between equality?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we say equality, that's meaning that all things are equal. That means that if we go to a baseball game, everybody who comes in there is going to get a right-handed glove because Juan Soto decided to stay with the New York Yankees. I'm a shameless Yankees fan. I'm sorry, I had to put that in there. And because he decided to stay with the Yankees, every fan who comes into attendance gets a right-handed glove. Equality. Doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter who you are, you walk through that door, you're getting a glove. Somebody doesn't get their glove, that's inequality, because the criteria was you just needed to come to the game. Equity would be saying, well, we recognize that there might be some left-handed people there too. So we're going to find, instead of just getting a right-handed glove, we're going to get some left-handed gloves as well for people who might have different needs. Or it might even say for young people, you know, people who are less than 9, we recognize that adult-sized glove really doesn't fit them. Let's get them a child size mitt so that they can have something that they can play with too. Or we have some people who are catchers. What does a catcher need with a fielder's mitt? So now we're just going to, you see how it can go on. And so, yeah, you know, you have to draw lines somewhere, but I do think it's important to understand that there is a difference between equality, which just says one size fits all, everybody gets the same, versus equity, where you're really trying to get the overall experience to be the same, though you might have to go about it a little differently. And both are important, and you can find both in the Word of God. So these words, equality and equity, are not negative words. I think a lot of times we forget, and I love to use these examples. I've used it before. It's like the rainbow, you know. The rainbow is our promise that the world will never be destroyed by water again.
Right.
I understand that the rainbow has been taken and used for other agendas. It does not matter if other people try to use it for other things. The rainbow is God's bow. It's set in the cloud as a promise to us. And so I think just remembering that these words, these mentalities originally belong to the giver of life.
that's a good point. I want to explore some more because I know that the culture can hijack these words, these ideas, and in fact, they can look antithetical to our faith and what it means to understand these as a Christian. So, you know, you're a Christ follower. You're part of an organization that seeks to God, you know, honor Christ with all we do. In this committee, we want to talk about this issue of race and reconciliation and equality and so forth. But we want to do so with a Christian prism, with a world and life view. So how does a Christian interface with these ideas?
Yes. Let's use a small healthcare perspective, because I think this will, one, be relevant to most of the people who are living, but it'll also tie in very nicely to a biblical mindset. I'm thinking about a letter that was written. I can't for the life of me remember the name of the person who the letter was addressed to. It was a young man who was an aspiring physician who was trying to go into Emory School of Medicine back in the, I think it was the 50s. I think you're familiar with the letter. You might have seen it.
I think I have, yes.
Yeah. And he got a rejection letter saying, at this point in time, we don't take Negroes into our medical schools. And so he held on to that later because he became a physician. But it kind of, for him, was a motivating force saying, I will not allow this to stop me from reaching the goal that I believe God has given to me. Now, I don't know any of our listeners who would say that that's not right. Everybody would say, yeah, that's wrong. Shouldn't have happened. But what people don't know is you have organizations like, for example, you mentioned the med school I went to, Morehouse School of Medicine.
Yeah.
Many people don't know Morehouse is actually a white man. Morehouse was started by a white man, and it was started for this reason. There were no four-year medical schools. There were no medical schools, period, that allowed people of color, black people, to go to school and get a degree. And when it was started, Morehouse was only a two-year institution, mm-hmm. and you would then have to go do your third and fourth year somewhere else. So Morehouse started this as a way to give black people an opportunity to live out their medical dreams. Morehouse has since become a four-year accredited institution and is standing on its own feet. But, you know, if you look at that, if people were to say, hey, that's, regardless of how you feel about it, that is DEI in action. That is diversity, equity, or equality, and inclusion in action. That's a good way that it can be used. Mm-hmm. But just like everything else, it can be used in a negative way too. And so I think we have to be careful to say tools are evil. Like I go outside and yesterday I was cutting my grass. And sometimes when I get off the lawnmower, I hit my foot. I recognize as much as I try to blame it on the lawnmower and call it evil, I recognize the lawnmower is maybe not responsible for it,
right.
But it's just the tool that I used to happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes some of these elements, DEI, for example, is a tool that can be used wrongly, mm-hmm. But I think it's equally wrong to call the tool evil because in some instances, it can be an agent of very good use.
Well, certainly as we break it apart, the subjects that they're addressing are very much at the center of who we are as Christ people, that diversity is at the very heart of God. We look at the throne room of God in Revelation and we see the nations all bowing and worshiping our Lord and Creator. I mean, that's an inclusion, you know, where the Jewish people thought that this was a religion for themselves and only
yes,
to discover
yes.
that it was first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. It went beyond just an ethne, a particular nation or people. And so, that's the posture God's people should always have.
Amen.
In understanding and embracing that. Now, obviously, it gets hijacked and these words get corrupted. I like to say we sometimes use the same words, we're just using different dictionaries. And that's...
Okay.
But that goes back to your point is I think a good place to start is often asking, what do you mean when you say?
What do you mean by yes, yes? Because sometimes, depending on how they answer that, Bill,
yeah.
I won't even engage in the conversation.
Right.
It's just not a good use of time for them or for us
yeah.
or for myself, you know?
Right, right. I think it's a great evangelism opportunity, honestly, because as people talk about these issues, they're thinking they're talking about something. I like to think that as Christians, we kind of have the market on this. This is part of, you know, this for the culture is kind of a Johnny come lately. This is for the church always been part of the very fabric of who we are as God's people. But it oftentimes gets again hijacked in ways that I think can be, unfortunate. But as Christ followers, we need not have to forfeit the intent there.
Totally agree. And we don't have to feel nervous. Sometimes I'll talk with people on certain topics and they may say something. I don't know the answer right away to what they've said, but it's kind of like, you know what it's like? And some of our listeners are going to hate me after this if they don't hate me already. it's kind of like being, I'm a Michael Jordan fan, okay? I'm not a LeBron fan, so that's the big secret that I have. But it's kind of like being at a basketball game, mm-hmm. and you're playing against another team, and you know Michael Jordan is going to come out on the court whenever you need him. Mm. When you have that, you're never nervous. You're never afraid. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says because I have the truth on my side. Mm-hmm. I have him, which happens to be our Lord and Savior. And, you know, mm-hmm. it makes it a less threatening issue, and I don't have to. What I found a lot of times is when people start getting angry and yelling, it's because mm-hmm. they feel insecure about what they believe. Mm.
Well, when we, you know, look at DEI, we can talk about this in terms of race, but when we're looking at some of these other issues, it gets even a little bit more complicated because especially with the nomenclature gender-affirming care, the transgender issue, again, very front and center in our culture, and by no coincidence, it's Christian healthcare professionals that this is landing right at their doorstep, as many other issues are. How do you, you know, working especially with up-and-coming, you know, healthcare professionals as you are in this residency, how do you recommend Christian doctors, Christian physicians, Christian dentists and all approach patients and other attendings who endorse, you know, the cultural views?
You know what? You nailed it because when I was in medical school, it was not called gender-affirming therapy. It actually had DSM-5 diagnoses of having gender dysphoria. This was not something that you would endorse or even think about trying to do by supporting the puberty blocking or gender transitioning on people who are less than 18 years of age. To me, that's from a purely scientific mindset, leaving my faith at the door for a second, that's maddening. It makes no sense. It's not something that there's research to support. Mm. It's not something that is helpful in any way, shape, or form. I would not recommend weight reduction surgery in obese kids, let alone gender-affirming, quote-unquote, gender-affirming therapy. Mm-hmm. So it makes no sense. Now, getting back into a spiritual standpoint, the thing that I think we have to remember is we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I think that's key. Mm-hmm. Because many times I think our frustrations, which we rightly should be frustrated, and our anger, sometimes we lay it at the wrong person's feet. Mm-hmm. These belong at spiritual demonic manifestations. This is the principalities and wickedness. This is where the real fight begins. Mm-hmm. And if you remember who the enemy is, you can learn to love those who are deceived and not love the deceiver. And I think we have to keep that in our mindset as we go forth, especially as healthcare professionals, because if we're not careful, our heart, which is incredibly deceitful at times, can be led astray to see them as the enemy, to see them as wicked people who we need to stay away from, as opposed to people who really need the love of God. Not saying that there isn't wickedness in their beliefs and that they themselves aren't sinners, just saying that our response as Christian healthcare professionals is to love them, present the truth, and leave the rest up to God. Love them, present the truth. The changes and the outcomes are totally in God's hands. Mm. And even in my area, Bill, it's a particularly, nefarious climate. It's very touchy. You have to be very careful, mm-hmm. Because there is an agenda with that you see clearly is trying to be passed. Even the words, let's go back to the words, Bill, gender affirming therapy.
Right.
I mean, we're calling evil good and good evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just wrong, right. You know, but I think if we stand on God's word and don't make excuses for the truth, but just remember who the real enemy is, mm-hmm. I think we'll protect our heart, but avoid being spiritually impotent as well.
Mm, yeah, no, that's a good reminder, I think. You know, the Imago Dei, knowing as we look at people across from us that they are made in the image of God. And yes, that there's, you know, that's what the enemy does. It turns evil, or those things that are good, and it turns them on their head. It corrupts them. And
yes.
And of course, this issue is no different. What are some of the, I mean, just broad, in a broad sense, we touch on a couple of hot button issues, but what are some of the things that as you are training young professionals, what's the biggest threat right now, do you see, the biggest challenge as these young professionals are trying to not only learn the skills and the core competencies they need to, but also doing as faithful Christ followers?
You know, in my mind, we've already touched on one of them. I think language is really important. And I know people would say, what language? Well, think about everything we've been talking about. Not only are words being used inappropriately at times, or words not having the same impact that they have, or there could be multiple different meanings behind the words. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the very definitions of words are changing. Mm-hmm. And that's no small feat that we have to overcome as Christian healthcare professionals in today's environment. So whenever I'm thinking about what I need to be careful of, the first thing I would say is watch your words. And spending time in the word, I think, will help you watch the words that you allow to come out of your mouth and that you allow to be digested from your ears. I think we have to be very careful to not allow the world to dictate to us what we can and cannot do. For example, this is actually a perfect time to use this example because it's right after the election. Right. I think it's a perfect one. We'll see how much hate mail you get after this.
We'll put your email in the show notes.
My email. Okay. You know, we just came through an election, and one of the things that you see with this election right now is that our country is extremely polarized. Polarized, and it seems as though everything is drawn into circles where you must fit. And if you don't fit in those circles somewhere, you don't matter. So for example, you're either a Republican or a Democrat. You know, you're either illegal or you're a natural born citizen. The point I'm trying to make is that there has been no title given to me, including African-American male, including that I wholly subscribe to, except for the title of Christian. Mm-hmm. There is no other title. Everything else must bow its knee. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean that you cannot vote conservatively if you feel led to do so? Of course. Listen, when you go to the polls, use your God-given wisdom and vote according to the conscience, whatever the Spirit moves you to do, vote. But be wary of these labels that people put on you and the attempt to live up to those said labels, understanding that the only thing that you can wholly subscribe to is Christ. That's the only person we can put our hope in. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, I was at an event yesterday. It was a wonderful event, but then something happened that made it not so wonderful. I was at an event, it was on Veterans Day, and my daughter, she won a beauty contest, and so she was the county queen for that area.
Yeah.
And so at the event, they were wanting to award some of the veterans a quilt that was hand-knitted. You had to meet certain criteria to be able to get this quilt of valor. I think that's what they called it. Okay. Well, as they were handing out the quilt of valor, you know, it was great. They said the Pledge of Allegiance. They sang the national anthem. And then they read a poem. Mm-hmm. And in a poem, one of the statements they said, it was a metaphor, but it was kind of like if the American flag could speak. Mm-hmm. And he was saying things like, you know, I'm bold, I'm brave. And then he went on to say, sometimes I'm arrogant, and yes, I'm worshipped. And it went on and on and on. And I thought about that. And I was like, that's very interesting that you would use the word worshiped and you're a flag. Anything that we allow ourselves to worship that is not Christ, we're setting up for a fall. Anything. And I love my country and I want to see my country continue to grow. I love my family. But anything that we put our stock in that is not God will not stand up. And so I think as my brothers and sisters who are Christian young people, healthcare professionals, I think what I would have them tell them is watch your language and realize the only hope we have, not only in this country, in this world, is being totally submitted under the blanket of Jesus Christ. And that's it. Yeah. And everything else is taking sand.
That's right on. I think we talked about diversity and inclusion and equity or equality. We talk about those aspirations as if they can be achievable apart from the work of the Lord. Again, the things that we're talking about fundamentally are fruits, bearing fruit from a an ability to do something very unnatural. I mean, loving our neighbor, loving God in the manner we're called to. I mean, none of these things are possible apart from the Spirit's work in our life and transformation by His Spirit. So it's, yeah.
And you know, something else that just came to mind as you were speaking, Bill, is, you know, the Bible says that we're to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Mm. I think we need to do a better job, and I'm speaking to believers now. Mm-hmm. If you look at a serpent before it strikes, mm-hmm. it observes its prey. It watches what it does. It watches. When you see it strike, you didn't see the hour that it spent beforehand watching its motions and following it, mm-hmm. you know, right. whatever sensing techniques it has. I think it, as healthcare professionals, we have to do the same thing, but use it for the glory of God. What does that mean? I love sitting down with people who are different than me, especially if they're not believers, and learning from them, learning what makes them tick. I study them. I want to hear about your history. And whatever's good in it, guess what? I'm going to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. And whatever's bad, I throw it away. That's the thing that I'm fighting for. That's the thing I'm fighting against, I should say. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to recognize the natural tendency is for us to desire comfort, which means you're going to be around people who look like you and think like you and talk like you. And you have the same sports team and you laugh and maybe you were raised in the same area. Maybe you went to the same med school. Mm-hmm. Maybe you did mission trips together and that's your best bud. Most of my growth, Bill, has been because I was in situations that felt uncomfortable, that had nothing to do with me. I really felt like there was no commonality. And I was relying on God to keep me there, to show me what I needed to learn. Mm-hmm. And it was from those moments when you study the other, when you study the opposition, when you study the thing that was least like you, is when you grow the most. And I think it'll help you as you navigate the paths forward. Mm-hmm. Your words change. The way you express certain sentiments and certain thoughts change because you understand the other perspective and what you're fighting against, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So people a lot of times, well, why did Jesus befriend Judas? You have to have Judases in your life. You can't ascend to the ultimate pinnacle of quote unquote what success looks like in your life unless you have some Judases or some people who you really are trying to help, but you know they have other motives, but you're still looking out at them. You're still figuring out how they tick, and you're going to use the good for yourself. I'm saying that because right now I see a movement towards just being around people who make me feel good, staying on your phone and swiping on those videos that only make you smile. You never see videos where people are crying and talking about how hard life is, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's even a bigger issue of confirmation bias because we are, the technology hems us in. It feeds us only the stuff that if we like this, it's going to give us more of what we like. It's not going to give us an opportunity to interact with maybe a conflicting or different point of view, as it may be, even minor. We're just constantly getting this same messaging. We're caught in these silos. And again, we just continue to believe one narrative at the expense of understanding a litany of different viewpoints.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I mean, even with issues like gender affirming therapy, I'm firmly against it. Oh, but I'd love to sit down and talk with people who are for it in a civil way and learn how I can love them despite the fact that I don't agree with them. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is good. We touched on a couple of hot button issues, and they're hot because culturally right now, again, like we've been talking about, there's a lot of worldviews on this, different opinions and so forth. And I think it invites us to, as Christ followers, to be engaging. You know, one of the encouraging trends I'm seeing, Omari, is either it's happening more or I'm just noticing it more, are students coming to faith in Christ at medical or dental school, which means students are engaging across boundaries, barriers, differences, whatever those might be, and reaching out to their neighbor, loving their neighbor, caring for them, welcoming them, whatever that might be. And so, yeah, students are coming to faith, where that's the ultimate. What we want to see is people come to a saving faith. You know, not that our arguments are always right, not that everybody always agrees with us, We want to be able to engage in a meaningful way that shares the gospel and shares it with our words and backing it up with our life and making that a powerful testimony. So,
amen, brother. That's encouraging, man. That is so encouraging.
As we kind of wrapping up our time, anything that, unless it gets us down a pathway, we're going to talk about it for 20 minutes, but anything that you just want to leave the students kind of as a
part of you know, I'm so thankful for your work from the time that you were in Atlanta tutoring me as a young Padawan all the way to your time now, all the way to your time now as vice president. I think you're doing a fantastic job and the students are being blessed by this. And I'm so thankful for, despite what's going on in this polarized nation, I'm so thankful for an organization that puts God first. That says we follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords unapologetically,
yes,
but also winsomely. That's it. And shout out to our fabulous CEO, Mike Jupp. Wonderful job.
well, wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you, brother, for also stepping into the gap and training our future healthcare professionals in an incredible opportunity and program to have it so faith-friendly and to be able to point people that are in this profession towards how to bring their faith to bear in the everyday, day-to-day life of doing medicine. So this has been great. I know there's a lot more. You're going to, if you haven't had a chance to meet Omari, this was one opportunity. Come to the National Convention. There's going to be a lot of fun and exciting things happening in St. Charles coming up in May. Thank you, Omari, for, again, all your hard work and for being a good friend. And thank you all for joining us on this episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. Well, it's this time of the podcast where we tell you some things you need to know. As always, you can find CMDA Student Life on all of our social media properties using the handle and username CMDA Student Life. And you'll find us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, X. And if you go to cmdastudentlife.org, you'll find a section in there for show notes. And so you'll be able to get all the important links that we discussed in this episode. Also, we want to draw your attention to CMDA's premier event, and that is our national convention. In 2025, May 1st through the 4th, our CMDA National Convention will be taking place right outside of St. Louis, Missouri, in St. Charles at the Convention Center. It's a great location. And as a student, I want to call your attention to some opportunities we have just for you. So if you go to natcon.cmda.org, you'll go right there to our National Convention landing page. But at the very top, there's a button for students and residents. Go ahead and click that because information will be there for scholarships, transportation, ride sharing, hotels, and all that information will be there just for students, as well as information about our VIE poster session. So anything student or trainee related is going to be there on the site. But in particular, I want to call your attention to scholarship money because we know finances can be tight. We know they are, but there is a generosity of spirit in CMDA. And so we've been able to raise scholarship money that's going to help underwrite not only your registration costs, but potentially some of your transportation and housing costs. So again, check it all out at natcon.cmda.org. And we're hoping and praying for about 220 students from all around the country to join us there in St. Charles. So it's going to be an incredible event, an event that you don't want to miss. Well, thank you again for joining us for this episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse Podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.